I'm going to continue with John chapter 5, starting in verse 24. And just remember the context. We're still in the sermon that resulted from the leaders in the temple criticizing Jesus for healing on the Sabbath and then claiming equality with the Father. So we'll start in 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. So, a few things to notice about this passage. One, in the prior passage, there was a lot of discussion about Jesus and his relationship with the Father. In this passage, there is a transition to Jesus' relationship with people and how people relate to him and how they respond to him and what it is that God is doing through him. And notice that he says that those who listen to me or listen to the Son of Man and trust the one who sent him. And I just want to comment on that listening. There are many voices in our lives. There are the voices of our parents, and the things that they've told us, both good and bad, true and false. They're the voices of our friends and the things that they say about us and to us. They're the voices of our culture. There are so many voices that sort of, as it were, prophesy into our lives and maybe prophesy desires or tell us who we are. And what Jesus is saying is those who are listening to me, not just who listen once, but who put themselves in the position to always be listening to what I say about life, about God, about they themselves, it is those who have passed from judgment or from death into life. And maybe that's a great definition of a disciple, those who keep listening to Jesus, those who learn to distinguish the voice of Jesus from the voice in their own head or the voice of the accuser of the brethren, or merely the voice of people. So disciples are those who keep listening to Jesus. You know, we might think of Nicodemus, who came to hear Jesus and he had a hard time, but as the Gospel of John unfolds, it seems as though Nicodemus continues to listen. And so the question is, how do we listen? Do we give time for Jesus to speak to us and to allow the things that he says about us and life and everything else to dominate and push everything else out? When we do that, we find a life inside of us that cannot be quenched. And Jesus says about this life, a good way to translate it is it's deep and lasting life. Notice Jesus is not talking here about life after death per se. Remember with the woman at the well, he said, you will drink this water and it'll well up inside of you. So I think he's talking about life now. And that's why I like deep and lasting life. It's a life that when we really begin to slow down and listen to what Jesus is saying and respond to what Jesus is saying and maybe even speak aloud what his word says, there is this life inside of us that sets us free from fear. That allows us to walk in love, that allows us to give ourselves in love for others. And it is a life that grows. It is a life that Jesus is ultimately saying that can't be undone by death. Death will not end the kind of life that begins in hearing him and trusting him and trusting the Father who sent him and what they say about life. And then Jesus transitions to talking about the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, or the Son of Man, and will come out of their tombs. And I think Jesus is doing maybe one thing, but talking in terms of two stages. I think he's speaking in terms of what he's doing, the woman at the well, Nicodemus. He is going around speaking to people who are in their tombs. They're in the tomb of their sin. They're in the tomb of their pride. And they begin to hear and to respond and to come along with Jesus and see what he has to say. And they come out of their tombs. They come out of the tombs of sin and selfishness and everything else, and fear and anxiety. And that's beginning to happen in Jesus' ministry. But of course, he's not just talking about a spiritual life that begins now. He is talking about the resurrection of bodies. And I put it that way because so often I think we forget that the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the promise of the resurrection of the dead, of the resurrection of these bodies that are mortal, that are dying, that will die should the Lord tarry. And he's reminding us of that promise. And I think later in the gospel, we see an image of what Jesus is talking about when he raises Lazarus from the dead. He calls him out of the grave. And I think that is a tiny, tiny preview, a shadow of a preview of what God intends ultimately for all humanity, to raise all that have ever died so that they can face Jesus and face him in life or face him in judgment. And I think we need to open up our hearts and remind ourselves of that promise, the promise of life that begins now, and life that will continue in the resurrection of the dead. And then Jesus transitions at the end to speaking about this other witness, this other one that testifies. First of all, it's remarkable that the Son of God, Jesus, the Word of the Father, does not rely on self-witness. He doesn't represent himself. He says, I simply speak what I've been given to speak, and there's another who testifies about me. Now, as you read along, you might think that he's talking about the Father, but I don't think he's talking about the Father. I think he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Later on, he says, the Father will send, or I will send another Comforter. So think of it this way. Whenever we hear the words of Jesus, we read the words of Jesus, or we pay attention in any way to the words of Jesus, and there is this sense of confidence about what he says, or the sense of authority in what he says, I believe Jesus is telling us that that is the Holy Spirit at work inside of us, giving testimony that this that you are hearing is true. And that indeed is the work of the Spirit. And I think there's a great confidence and joy that we can take that it is not our job to prove Jesus. It is not our job to accredit him, give him validation. We simply speak, we listen to his words and find life in his words, and we speak his words and speak of what the word itself says about the word. And we can trust that it's not us that provides the confirming witness, but the Holy Spirit. And what that does is it leaves our witness to others in God's hands. There's things we can do, but there's things we can't do. And our job is to live in those words and be listening to those words and then be speaking those words and trust that the other witness, that he will be there testifying in people's hearts to the truth of the Word of God. So may we be listeners. May we drink deeply in new ways, in persistent ways. May his words sink more deeply down into our identity and how we see ourselves and others. And may we cooperate with the great witness, which is the Holy Spirit, in proclaiming the word of the Father, which is Jesus Christ. Amen.